الحمد لله رب العالمين وصلى الله وسلم على نبينا محمد وعلى آله وصحبه ومن تبعهم بإحسان إلى يوم الدين أما بعد. We continue with the very interesting discussion on the virtues of the Sahaba in the light of the position of Ahl Sunnah wal Jama'ah. Obviously, because not everyone seems to agree on something which should be agreed upon. And if you came to the lecture the other day, the wolves in sheep's clothing, then you probably had more insight on our enemies and who the Shia really are. If you did not, however, attend the lecture, then the good news is it's online. Go on YouTube and you type wolves in sheep's clothing and you put, I guess, my name next to it, because believe it or not, there's a song by the same name, so I don't want you to get the song. So put that and add Wajdi or Abu Mus'ab or One Way to Paradise or whatever is easier for you to remember, and boom, the lecture is there. 1 hour 39 minutes. So make sure you have some time. And Q&A and everything. But yeah, the lecture was longer than usual, and we had to summarize so many different things. Otherwise, you can be there for days. Ala kulli hal. Now we're going to get to a very, very, very interesting discussion, which I really, really like. In regards to those who go against the methodology of Ahlus Sunnah wal Jama'ah. And let's see. Naam, so we mentioned the four opinions that are popular among Ahlus Sunnah wal Jama'ah. قوله وإن كانت هذه المسألة مسألة عثمان وعلي ليست من الأصول التي يضلل المخالف فيها عند جمهور أهل السنة. Even though this issue, the issue of the, you know, virtue of Uthman over Ali or Ali over Uthman, who is better, it is not from the fundamentals of our religion due to which one who opposes that is considered to be deviant according to Ahl Sunnah wal Jama'ah, according to the majority of the scholars. Meaning if one of the people said, Abu Bakr is good, Umar is good, but I think Ali should have been before Uthman, not a big deal. They won't consider him to be, someone who has necessarily deviated in this regard, because this is an issue where the scholars of Ahl Sunnah themselves differed. يعني المفاضلة بين عثمان وعلي رضي الله عنهما ليست من أصول أهل السنة التي يضلل فيها المخالف. فمن قال إن عليا أفضل من عثمان, whoever says Ali is better than عثمان, فلا نقول إنه ضال. We don't say he is deviant. بل نقول هذا رأي من آراء أهل السنة. We say this is one opinion among the opinions of أهل السنة. ولا نقول فيه شيئا. We don't say nothing in regards to that person. قوله لكن التي يضلل فيها مسألة الخلافة. However, the issue concerning which we will declare deviance upon a person is in the matter of خلافة. فيجب أن نقول الخليفة بعد نبينا في أمته أبو بكر ثم عمر ثم عثمان ثم علي. Now we must say in regards to the Khalifa who preceded or who followed the Prophet عليه الصلاة والسلام was Abu Bakr and then Umar and then Uthman and then Ali. In regards to who was the Khalifa, you can't disagree that he took the Khilafah when it was not rightly his and so on and so forth. That there's no room. And if you say otherwise, then you're deviant. But if you say Uthman is better than Ali, but Uthman, Ali is better than Uthman, however Uthman should have been the third Khalifa as he was, ما في مشكلة. But once you start saying that something wrong happened in that process, you're on the wrong track. وَمَنْ قَالَ إِنَّ الْخِلَافَ لِعَلِي دون هؤلاء الثلاثة فهو ضال. Whosoever claims that the Khilafah belongs to Ali alone, with the exception or by excluding these other three, he is ضال. From ضلال, ضل يضل, ضل إلى آخره. He deviated. He went astray. He left the right path. ومن قال إن لعلي بعد أبي بكر إنها لعلي بعد أبي بكر وعمر فهو ضال. And if someone said that Ali should have been the Khalifa after Abu Bakr and Umar, he's also misguided. Notice, if he said that Ali should have been the Khalifa, if he said Ali is better than Uthman, but Uthman is the right third Khalifa, ما في مشكلة. If he thinks he should have been the Khalifa, I mean Ali instead of Uthman, we say فإنه ضال لأنه مخالف لإجماع الصحابة رضي الله عنهم. Why? Because he contradicted and he opposed the consensus of the Sahaba. Because he became the Khalifa with the consensus of the Sahaba. ولهذا قال المؤلف رحمه الله, that's why the author said may Allah have mercy on him, وذلك أنهم يؤمنون أن الخليفة بعد رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم أبو بكر ثم عمر ثم عثمان ثم علي. أهل السنة والجماعة believe that the خليفة after the Prophet عليه الصلاة والسلام is أبو بكر, then عمر, then عثمان, then علي. Now here's gonna, here comes the interesting part. وهذا ما أجمع عليه أهل السنة في مسألة الخلافة. This is what أهل السنة have agreed about in regards to the issue of خلافة. قوله ومن طعن في خلافة أحد من هؤلاء, and whosoever whosoever criticizes the خلافة of any one of these, فهو أضل من حمار أهله. He is more misguided than his family's donkey. And donkeys are dumb. By the way, if you haven't observed these animals amongst others, don't think it's a zakla khair. Don't think this is a fallacy or some superstitious belief. Donkeys are pretty dumb. In fact, I came across a video on YouTube by mistake once where there was a statue of an animal, it was a deer or something, and the donkey thought it was a female, and he tried to, you know, get married with a metal, you know, statue, and he's working hard and, you know, going left and right and up and down and making all kinds of things. And you would think that the donkey should have realized that this is not a real animal. I mean, come on. But donkeys are pretty dumb. So, and that's why Allah Azza wa Jal compared the Jews, huh? Like the himar yahmilu asfara, like the donkeys which carries books on its back, benefits not from them. Didn't use another animal. Some other animals are pretty intelligent. فهو أضل من حمار أهله, is more astray than the donkey of his household. الذي يطعن في خلافة, يعني basically the Shia, the Rafida, this is what they are. They are more deviant than a donkey. Indeed. الذي يطعن في خلافة أحد من هؤلاء, whoever then criticizes the خلافة of any one of these, ويقول إنه لا يستحق الخلافة, and he says he does not deserve خلافة, أو إنه أحق ممن سبقه, or that he, this person has more right over the خلافة than the one who preceded him, فهو أضل من حمار أهله, he is more astray than his family's donkey. وعبر المؤلف رحمه الله بهذا التعبير. Why did Shaykh al-Islam ibn Taymiyyah use these words and these expressions? لأنه تعبير الإمام أحمد رحمه الله, because this was the expression of Imam Ahmad رحمه الله. ولا شك أنه أضل من حمار أهله, and we have no doubt that he is more astray than the donkey of his family. وإنما ذكر الحمار, why was the donkey mentioned? لأنه أبلد الحيوانات على الإطلاق, he is the lamest animals of all. He's very just lame and just annoying, you know. I mean, it's always been known like that. Even in cartoon, the donkey is portrayed as the dumb animal, and everybody else seems to figure out what they're doing. Like the fox, you know, he tricks everybody else, and but the donkey never seems to, you know, manage anything good. فهو أقل الحيوانات فهما, he is the least among animals in terms of comprehension and understanding. فالطعن فيها خلافة أحد من هؤلاء أو في ترتيبه طعن في الصحابة جميعا. And then basically if you criticize any one of these خلفاء, or you criticize the order in which they came in, then in other words you have criticized all of the صحابة. And so you must be really dumb if all of the Sahaba to you are deviant, misguided, didn't know any better. Then you must be more astray than the donkey of your family, your household. Because it's impossible that Allah will send the final messenger whose message is supposed to be eternal, then he will give him the worst companions a prophet had, so that they all apostatize from the religion. They all, you know, or become kafir. They all lie. They try to take over, and it becomes a fight over power. The worst descriptions they can give to them, they give to them. And so, in other words, the Quran is not preserved. The Sunnah is not preserved. Nothing remains of the deen. That's what they're saying. فيجب علينا أن نعتقد بأن الخليفة بعد رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم أبو بكر ثم عمر ثم عثمان ثم علي. The Sheikh said it is incumbent upon us أن نعتقد. What is that? What is اعتقاد? You try to get away with it, huh?
To believe.
That's a little weak. Okay, that's a little stronger. What adjective can we... wait a second. What adverb can we add? We have to play with the English now. What adverb? Because adverbs and adjectives are not the same. In case you haven't been studying your grammar. What adverb can we add to believe to give the meaning of i'tiqad? And by the way, hint, most adjectives end with ly. Like, I speak slowly. Okay? Here, slowly describes the verb speak. So it becomes an adverb. If I said, I am slow, becomes an adjective describing the subject, I. So whenever a word describes the verb, or there's more technicalities, by the way. Adverb may describe a verb or another adjective or another adverb. But most people don't know that. The common thing you learn in intermediate school or elementary is that the adverb describes the verb. So the verb is believe. Let's say to believe. طيب, what adverb do we add to give the meaning of i'tiqad?
It's strongly.
Strongly is nice, but there's a synonym to it. Begins with an F.
Firmly.
Firmly believe. Strongly is good, but firmly is nicer. It sounds nicer. Firmly. Firmly. Maybe not. Firmly believe. From aqidah. What is aqidah linguistically? From uqda. And what is uqda? A knot. A knot which you tie. When you get a rope and you tie a strong knot that is very difficult to untie unless you know the trick of it, something which is that firm, this is what uqda is, and aqidah comes from that, meaning that which you believe in as if this is what you believe in, and you've tied around it all kinds of things and you've tightened it so that it doesn't escape, which includes certainty, yaqeen, and strong belief and firm belief and creed. The creed, is this a video? Okay. The camera keeps getting smaller. Last week we had a whole set. Now it's a tiny one. Next thing you know, someone with a finger is going to tell me there's a camera in his finger. What happened to the other brothers? Anyways. طيب يا أخوان. إذن an adverb is firmly. بأن الخليفة, that the Khalifa after the Prophet, the Messenger of Allah صلى الله عليه وسلم, should be Abu Bakr, then Umar, then Uthman, then Ali. وأنهم في أحقية الخلافة على هذا الترتيب. And in regards of their right, the right of being the Khalifa, they are in this order as well. The four we mentioned. حتى لا نقول إن هناك ظلما في الخلافة. So that no one will say that there's some sort of oppression in regards to the Khilafah. Someone oppressed another one and took it away from him and what have you. كما ادعته الرافضة. As the rejectionists had claimed. حين زعموا, when they claimed أن أبا بكر وعمر وعثمان والصحابة كلهم ظلمة. When they claim that Abu Bakr, Umar, Uthman, and all of the Sahaba are oppressive. All of them, conspired, and they knew it was supposed to be Ali, and somehow they pulled all these stunts and they took it away from Ali. As if they were chasing after the dunya. And they knew from the hadith of the Prophet ﷺ that you shouldn't seek for imara. You shouldn't seek for that leadership. If it is given to you, then ask Allah to aid you. But don't seek it. And the Prophet ﷺ advised Abu Dharr not to take on that position. He said, this position will bring consequences on Yawm al-Qiyamah unless you give it its due right. And the Sahaba were too afraid to really be responsible in this regard. Everybody wanted to save his own neck. So they weren't really looking forward to it. Just like Umar ibn Abdul Aziz, just like many of the Khulafa, whom the people agreed that they should be the Khalifa. You know, or when one of them knows that he is entitled because he will apply the deen of Allah and preserve the sunnah, then he may present himself in this regard like Yusuf did, alayhi salatu wasalam. He told him, I am Amin, I am, I have knowledge of what's going on. And so he requested that he be given some sort of authority so that he can maintain the rights of people. As it comes in Surah Yusuf. I don't remember the two adjectives he described himself with right now. لا, this is Musa. That was Musa. خير من استأجرت القوي الأمين. That's Musa. No, Yusuf, he said, اجعلني على خزائن الأرض حفيظ عليم أحسنت حفيظ I from حفظ I preserve I protect عليم I know what's going on so he praised himself as the ulama say only not because he was seeking leadership because he knew that he would do the job the best and he doesn't want to leave open the door for someone else to be in charge and then the people get wronged and oppressed in the process so there are exceptions to the rule but generally you don't ask for it. أما من بعدهم أو عفوا لأنهم ظلموا علي بن أبي طالب. They say that the Sahaba then they wronged علي بن أبي طالب حيث اغتصبوا الخلافة منه. Now be careful of the term اغتصاب. Usually in modern day language in Arabic اغتصاب is equivalent to rape. Okay, and it has to do from غصب, which is to take something forcefully. And rape is a form of imposing, a man imposing himself on a woman, or we've heard cases where women have raped men, and then we've heard cases of men raping men, so all kinds of things are happening in this world now. It's not the standard as been back in the days. Nevertheless, it's that forceful imposing of oneself on others. So the term in itself contains that meaning. So اغتصاب, just in case you've been hearing it as rape, don't misunderstand it when you hear it here and think something else. اغتصاب is to take something by force. It's to take something by force while oppressing the one from whom you're taking. Nowadays, used in the context of, in the news, in the newspapers, magazines, it's equivalent to rape. اغتصب رجل امرأة meaning a man raped a woman. They don't mean that he took her money by force. They mean something else. So just be careful of these connotations so you will not misunderstand the magazine or misunderstand the Quran, the Islamic text. أما من بعدهم فإننا لا نستطيع أن نقول أن كل خليفة استخلفه الله على الناس هو أحق بالخلافة من غيره. Now, in regards to anyone who comes after them, we cannot say, in regards to any one of them whom Allah had decreed he will be take over authority over the people, that he is more deserving of the خلافة than anyone else. After them, we don't know. We cannot make that because the Sahaba were not included or involved in that consensus. So anything goes, as you know. لأن من بعدهم ليسوا في خير القرون. Because those who preceded them, or those who followed them, عفواً, they were not, or they are not among the best generations. بل حصل فيهم من الظلم والانحراف والفسوق ما استحقوا به أن يولى عليهم من ليس أحق بالخلافة منهم. Rather, so much oppression, deviation, and defiant disobedience resulted from their actions that they actually deserved the people who were taken over, the people who were in charge of them, even though there may have been others who were more qualified. Yani the corruption of the people was proportional to the people in charge. You see what I'm saying? The people became so bad that Allah decreed that those who are in charge are just as bad as they are. So they were wronging themselves and then a higher authority will actually further wrong them. As it is in the condition with many of the Muslim lands today. The people complain about the dictators who were, you know, imposing on them all kinds of oppression. Yeah, but look at the condition which you were in. Where was Islam in your life? And so, the way you deal with each other, then you will have someone dealing with you in the same manner. If you become upright, if you adhere to the deen, if you stick to the salah, then Allah Azza wa Jal will put in charge people who also entertain the salah and make sure that it is held and established. Because this is our main thing in the Khalifa. This is our main thing in the leader. That he does not stop the salah. Once they stop the salah, this becomes an element of disbelief. And this is what the Prophet ﷺ allowed, that the people revolt against the leader, provided they have the ability to do so, if he prevents the people from doing salah. But they have conditions that you're able to do something. Now what we saw in the uprising, unfortunately, first there's a Western hand in there, there's a Western involvement without a doubt. Secondly, it is all about democracy. We wish that they were asking for the things they were asking. They are a minority of people, alhamdulillah, pushing Islam. But the most people and what the media is supporting is democracy. If democracy is there, we didn't accomplish jack. Dictatorship is better than democracy. It is better. Because at least there's one person imposing on everyone everything. Democracy means you have the freedom of speech and freedom of choice and freedom of this and freedom of that. And the people are the ones who put the law. And so if the people decide that they all want to be gay, and then they say the law must be gay, then they will change the law. You may get a dictator who says, no gay people in my country. You see what I'm saying? And he will. And there are, by the way, people like that who don't entertain homosexuals. But if you give it to the people, the homosexuals say, where's our right? So now in recent times, Bill Clinton and his Hillary Clinton and all these clowns, now they're, and Obama himself, now they're allowing and, you know, approving, and they're saying that gay people have human rights and blah, 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 pushing for that. So first, Bush or one of them allowed them into the army. Before, they were not allowed in the American army. Now they have faggots in the American army. The last thing you need is a faggot soldier. But they're there. And then, you know, now they're trying to push for them for more of their rights. And so it becomes that if you tell a gay person you have a problem, you will go to jail. You can't tell them now Allah said that you are this and you are that, because democracy does not allow you to say that. Because you violated, you see what it leads to? So people don't understand what's cooking, man. They get excited, they see this and that, but there's a lot going on behind the scenes. And we have to be very careful concerning our belief and approach to this issue. No, we don't want democracy, we want Islam. And that has to be brought about by Muslims returning to the deen first, and then they can take care of the people in charge. But if we have not returned to the deen, we just want to throw one out, and we cannot bring someone in who is better, what have we accomplished besides bloodshed, lack of security, and lack of wealth, and what happened in Egypt? And they continue to fight until today. Just a couple of days ago, back in the square, Tahrir Square, back into the same issue, fighting, I don't know, 40 people, 50 people died. Besides the conflict that happened between the Coptic Christians and the Muslims. And the army does not want to submit the power to I don't know who. And the ministers, they all resigned. Yani fitna. They got rid of Hosni Mubarak. And nothing good has happened ever since. Chaos in the country. That's not how Islam works. You don't get excited, do things without planning ahead for the future. Without making sure you have Islamic leadership ready to take over. And that the people want it. The people want it. على كل حال, this besides the point, obviously. كما قال الله تعالى وكذلك, listen now, عجيب, وكذلك نولي بعض الظالمين بعض بما كانوا يكسبون. Similarly, we will make the wrongdoers allies to one another due to what they used to earn with their own hands. See how Allah will make him ally because of what they earn, Allah will put them all together. سبحان الله. وعلم أن الترتيب في الأفضلية على ما سبق لا يعني أنه من فضل غيره فإنه يفضله في كل شيء. Haha, very important point. Know that this order in terms of the best which we gave earlier does not mean that when one is better than another, it does not mean he is better than him in all regards. In all different characteristics. Yani he may be better than him in one area, whereas the other one is better in that other area. So it's not across the board, as they say. It's not across the board all the way. There may be some minor details. بَلْ قَدْ يَكُونُ لِلْمَفْضُولِ فَضِيلَ لَمْ يُشَارِكُ فِيهَا أَحَدٍ. Rather, one who has been put in terms of order below may have a particular virtue that no one else shares with him. وتتميز أحد هؤلاء الأربعة وغيرهم بميزة يفضل بها غيره لا يدل على الأفضلية المطلقة فيجب التفريق بين الإطلاق والتقييد. So the fact that one has been given a unique characteristic among these four or others does not mean that he is better in all regards. And yet because he is lesser than them in terms of who's best, it does not mean that they're better than him in all regards. For example, Ali رضي الله عنه. We have the famous hadith of the Prophet Ali sallallahu alaihi wasallam, who said, tomorrow I will give the flag to a person who loves Allah and His Messenger and whom Allah and His Messenger love. And who was the one with that privilege? It was Ali radiallahu anhu. So in this regard, he was given this unique. Allah, you know, the Messenger of Allah said, Allah and His Messenger love Ali, and Ali loves Allah and His Messenger. Khalas. So he may not share that particular thing in the exact way with others. So, but it does not mean that he is better. because he has that one quality. So we have to look at the general, you know, general CV. Like someone may have, you know, experience. His experience is better than that one. You have two CVs. This one has 10 years experience. This one has 8. But it does not mean because of the experience that he's better than him in all other things. This guy may be qualified in this, this and that, more degrees and what have you. Is that clear? Because some of you still looking at me like I'm speaking Chinese. Even though Chinese is not a language, by the way. they call it different things. فَيَجِبُ التَّفْرِيقُ بَيْنَ إِطْلَاقُ وَالتَّقْيِيدُ. We should differentiate then between the general statement and the specific one. قَوْلُهُ وَيُحِبُّونَ أَهْلَ بَيْتِ رَسُولِ اللَّهِ صَلَّى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمَ وَيَتَوَلَّوْنَهُمْ. The Ahlul Sunnah wal Jama'ah love the household of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and they ally with them. This is an element of the lecture which I failed to elaborate on due to my shortcomings. This was supposed to be part and parcel of the lecture, but قَدَّرَ اللَّهُ مَا شَاءَ فَعَلَ. Perhaps in the future this will be done individually, but alhamdulillah. وَأَيْ وَمِنْ أُصُولِ أَهْلِ السُّنَّةِ وَالْجَمَعَةِ أَنَّهُمْ يُحِبُّونَ أَهْلَ بَيْتِ رَسُولِ اللَّهِ صَلَّى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمَ. From the أُصُول of Ahlul Sunnah al-Jama'ah, loving the family and the household of the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam. يُحِبُّونَهُمْ لِأَمْرَيْنِ. We love him for two reasons. لِلْإِيمَانِ. Who does that exclude? Who are the family members who are excluded from this love?
Those who did not accept the...
Dur. Can you give me some names, tribe?
Abu Lahab.
Abu Talib. Anyone else?
His Prophet's parents.
Yep, because we have evidences that they were in the fire. One hadith for the mother and one for the father. Wallahu yaf'alu ma yasha subhanahu wa yakhtar. Allah knows best what he does. No one has the right. Some people say, oh no, but say, listen man, you know, you're gonna tell Allah what? You know, you mind yani what Allah has done and what Allah has decreed and what Allah's wisdom had entailed. You better chill out and know your limits. If Allah willed otherwise, you would have done otherwise. If Allah willed this way, you just need to accept it and move on with your life. The Messenger of Allah dealt with it. He continued, are you going to panic and freak out? Because some people reject it. And they reject the authentic traditions in regards to it. Which is very sad. Thinking that this is how they show their love to the Messenger of Allah. And so you cannot say this, you cannot say that. Ya akhi, I didn't, he said alayhi salatu wasalam. A man came, told him, where's my father? He told him, finnar, he's in the fire. So the man was saddened. Then he stopped him, he said, my father and your father are in the hellfire. Just like that. That's the Messenger of Allah making him feel better by telling him a fact. And so we don't deny that hadith. Na'am. That's besides the point, ala kulli hal. Again. We love him for iman. وَلِلْقَرَابَةِ مِنْ رَسُولِ اللَّهِ صَلَّى اللَّهُ وَسَلَّمُ وَلَا يَكْرَهُونَهُمْ أَبَدًا. We love them for their iman and for their ties, their relation, their blood relation with the Messenger of Allah صلى الله عليه وسلم, or their relation through in-lawship. Huh? Not only through blood, because then you would have to deal with the wives, and we will come to that inshallah. We never hate them. We don't. But you know what the Rafida do? How do they, the propaganda, they call us Nawasib. The Ahl Sunnah wal Jama'ah, they call Nawasib. Even though Nawasib exists, you know who the Nawasib are? Those who hate the family of the Messenger of Allah. They believe it, this crazy. They are Muslims who hate the Sahaba, and they are Muslims who hate the family of the Prophet Ali Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, if we can still call them Muslims. Now the Shia, the Rafida, in order to mislead the common masses and invite them to Shiaism, they attribute this quality of hating the family to the Ahl Sunnah. And they make us all nawasib, even though you read it in the books. I challenge you to find a single alim from Ahl Sunnah wal Jama'ah who ever said anything bad about the family of the Prophet ﷺ. You won't find it. But that's how they lie to the people. Because they're a bunch of liars. And liars have nothing that stops them from lying. وَلَكِنْ لَا يَقُولُونَ كَمَا قَالَ الرَّافِدَةِ. Huh. Even though we love them and we don't hate them, but we don't say as the Rafida say, كل من أحب أبا بكر وعمر فقد أبغض عليا. شوف الظلم. شوف. They say anyone who loves Abu Bakr and Umar has automatically hated Ali. If you love Abu Bakr and Umar, you hate Ali. Yes, yeah. Yes, Sheikh. I want to love all of them. You know, you want to impose on me who, when I love this one and I'm hating this one, it's none of your business. I love all. They say, no, you cannot. Like the love cannot combine. You know, this love cannot combine in your heart. If the love of Abu Bakr and Umar come, then the love of Ali will go away, or the other way around. What is this bid'ah, man? What is this nonsense that you impose on the people? But that's the Shia for you. And so let them go beat themselves with some chains and smack themselves around and cut their heads with a sword. Maybe some sense will be knocked into them. Until then, they remain as astray as the donkey of someone's household. If your religion is cursing the Sahaba and saying that the mothers of the believers are not good, and then, you know, you beat yourself with a chain in the street, you must be crazy. Seriously. Must be a very lunatic kind of person, or very deviant, yeah, or very feeble-minded. You're just a sheep following your leaders. But Allah gave you the ability to distinguish between truth and falsehood, so that's not really an excuse. It's not really an excuse for someone to be in this particular state. فَلَا يُمْكِنَ أَن نُحِبَّ عَلِيًا حَتَّى نُبْغِضَ عَلَى هَذَا وَعَلَى هَذَا فَلَا يُمْكِنَ أَن نُحِبَّ عَلِيًا حَتَّى نُبْغِضَ أَبَا بَكْرُ وَعُمَرُ. According to them, you cannot possibly love Ali until you hate Abu Bakr and Umar. وكأن أبا بكر وعمر أعداء لعلي بن أبي طالب. As if they're enemies. As if Abu Bakr and Umar are enemies with Ali. So you cannot, you know, love all of them simultaneously. مع أنه قد تواتر النقل عن علي رضي الله عنه أنه كان يثني عليهما على المنبر. Even though we have tawatur naql, yani tradition that has been narrated by so many people, it is impossible they lied and conspired with one another to lie, that Ali used to praise them from the minbar. He used to praise Abu Bakr and Umar from the minbar. So where's the enmity and the animosity which they're claiming? It exists not. فَنَحْنُ نَقُولُ. We say, إِنَّنَا نُشْهِدُ اللَّهُ. Allahu Akbar. على محبة آل بيت الرسول صلى الله عليه وسلم وقرابته نحبهم لمحبة الله ورسوله. We make Allah bear witness that we love the household of the Messenger of Allah صلى الله عليه وسلم and his family members. We love them because Allah and his Messenger love them. We love them because they love them. Because they love them. That's it. ومن أهل بيت أزواجه بنص القرآن ومن أهل بيت أزواجه بنص أو أزواجه بنص القرآن. From the family of the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم are his wives, per the textual evidence in the Quran. Allah سبحانه وتعالى says, يا أيها النبي, O Prophet, قل لأزواجك, say to your wives. Let me read the translation. I need to read the English first. أيوة. إن كنتن تردن الحياة الدنيا وزينتها فتعالينا أمتعكن وأسرحكن سراحا جميلا. O Prophet, say to your wives, if you should desire the worldly life and its adornment, then come, I will provide for you and give you a gracious release. وإن كنتن تردن الله ورسوله والدار الآخرة فإن الله أعد للمحسنات منكن أجرا عظيما. But if you should desire Allah and His Messenger and the home of the hereafter, then indeed Allah has prepared for the doers of good among you a great reward. يَا نِسَاءَ النَّبِيِّ مَنْ يَأْتِ مِنْكُنَّ بِفَاحِشَةٍ مُبَيِّنَةٍ يُضَاعَفْ لَهَا الْعَذَابُ ضِعْفَيْنِ وَكَانَ ذَلِكَ عَلَى اللَّهِ يَسِيرًا. O wives of the Prophet, whoever of you should commit a clear immorality, For her, the punishment would be doubled, twofold, and ever is that for Allah easy. وَمَنْ يَقْنُتْ مِنْكُنَّ لِلَّهِ وَرَسُولِهِ وَتَعْمَلْ صَالِحًا نُوتِهَا أَجْرَهَا مَرَّتَيْنِ وَأَعْتَدْنَا لَهَا رِزْقًا كَرِيمًا. And whoever of you devoutly obeys Allah and His Messenger and does righteousness, we will give her reward twice, and we have prepared for her a noble provision. Now, pay attention now. يا نساء النبي لستن كأحد من النساء إن اتقيتن فلا تخضعن بالقول فيطمع الذي في قلبه مرض وقلن قولا معروفا. O wives of the Prophet, you are not like anyone among women. If you fear Allah, then do not be soft in speech to men, lest he in whose heart is disease should covet, but speak with appropriate speech. وَقَرْنَ فِي بُيُوتِكُنَّ وَلَا تَبَرَّجْنَ تَبَرُّجَ الْجَاهِلِيَّةِ الْأُولَى وَأَقِمْنَ الصَّلَاةَ وَآتِينَ الزَّكَاةَ وَأَطِعْنَ اللَّهَ وَرَسُولَهُ. Here's the point. إِنَّمَا يُرِيدُ اللَّهُ لِيُذْهِبَ عَنْكُمُ الرِّجْزَ أَهْلَ الْبَيْتِ. وَيُطَهِّرُكُمْ تَطْهِيرًا. And abide in your houses, and do not display yourselves as was the display of the former times of ignorance, and establish prayer, and give zakah, and obey Allah and His Messenger. Pay attention now. Allah intends only to remove the remove from you the impurity of sin, O people of the Prophet's household, and to purify you with extensive purification. So Allah called them, speaking to the wives of Allah's Messenger alayhi salam, Ahl al-Bayt. So when they say the Shia, they love Ahlul Bayt wa Ahlul Bayt, they must love who? Their wives. But they say that Hafsa and Aisha were enemies of Allah's Messenger. And they accuse him of killing Allah's Messenger, and they accuse Aisha of you know what. Even though the Quran declared her innocence. Again, these are things in the lecture which were not addressed, because there was a note card which I lost in among the note cards. Subhanallah. Allah decreed it. You never know. Maybe had it come out on YouTube, it would have brought back some major retaliation. So Allah decreed it didn't come out. I intended to bring to mention it. It didn't. It happened. What, that note card number 46, I only saw it after the lecture. I was like, whoa, what happened here? Subhanallah. Ala kulli hal, ma fi bas, inshallah. وكذلك نعم وفأهل البيت هنا يدخل فيها أزواج الرسول عليه الصلاة والسلام بلا ريب. In the household of the Prophet عليه الصلاة والسلام includes the wives of the Messenger of Allah without a doubt, because the نص of the Quran يا جماعة الخير, it's not an issue of اجتهاد. وكذلك يدخل فيه قرابته, included are his family members, his kin ties, his kin. فاطمة وعلي والحسن والحسين وغيرهم كالعباس بن عبد المطلب وأبنائه فاطمة. You're not going to translate the names. These are all included in the household of the Prophet عليه الصلاة والسلام. Of course, if you want to know the difference between Ahl al-Sunnah and the Shia, you can even tell by the way they pronounce their names. Okay? So Ahl al-Sunnah will say Fatima. The Shia will say Fatima. Fatima. Ali. Yahsan. Ya Hassan, Ya Hassan. They have this annoying way of speaking, by the way, just by default. All Shia, by the way, have weird looking noses. Okay? Seriously, go to Medina, go to the Masjid al-Nabawi, go, you will tell a Shia from 20 feet away. You can tell that his mamsukh wal-iyadu billah, his appearance has been distorted. Even they may have, I'm not speaking about beautiful people and ugly people. No, not the features. They may have beautiful features, but Allah will make him look ugly. And someone may not be, you know, beautiful, that doesn't have beautiful features, but the nur and the iman will make him look good. So don't think I'm trying to criticize the appearance. It's all Allah's creation. But because of their hatred of Allah's Messenger and his family, and the Quran and Islam and everything, Allah Azza wa Jal yamsakhum maskh, yani in their faces, you can tell, a'udhu billah, that they're off the track. It's known. People tell them, you go to the Tulab al-Ilm, Jami' al-Samiyya, they will pinpoint them for you. They can tell by the appearance because they see them so often. So the way they speak, the way they look, you can tell a Shia, you know, from a distance. Now it doesn't mean you go assume that you're 100% right. You say, no, you're Shia. Says, man, from Ahl al-Sunnah, no, you look like one. Say, listen, man, come on, bro, what do you think this is, man? Because some people get excited. Yeah, I can tell, brother. I just feel it very strong deep inside. So you got to stop feeling, man, before you kill someone. And so don't get too excited with that point. I'm just giving you hints, you know. You may get it right, you may get it wrong. But usually you can tell by the way they look. عَلَى كُلِّ حَالِ فَنَحْنُ نُحِبُّهُمْ لِقَرَبَتِهِمْ رَسُولِ اللَّهِ عَلَيْهِ صَلَى السَّلَامُ وَلِإِمَانِهِمْ بِاللَّهِ. We love them because of their close relation with the Messenger of Allah, and because their iman in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. فَإِنْ كَفَرُوا, if they disbelieve, do we still love them?
No.
Abu Lahab did.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, we're speaking about now some family members.
Well, it depends upon their behavior towards Islam.
No,
actually, because Allah says,
"Iman factor will take them out."
Yeah, we don't love them, but we respect them. Like Allah says, "La yanhaakum Allahu 'anil ladina yuqatiluukum fi ad-deen wa lam yukhrijuukum."
Hey, where's the respect in the ayah?
Huh?
Where's the respect in the ayah?
No, I mean, like, you can be kind to them.
Oh, so some the kindness is equal to respect?
No.
We have to be good. I agree with you. But the choice of words, Habibi, is a very, very delicate issue. Choice of words. Because this idea is a very Christian idea. And in fact, most people who give da'wah to Christians have heard this at some point in time. Look, I respect your religion. You respect my religion, I respect yours. And this is the way they would like to end the conversation. And this is where you stop. Say, wait a second. My religion says that Jesus is not God and that you go into the hellfire for worshipping others with Allah. You respect that religion? So don't lie. You know, don't play games with me. I'm telling you, I don't respect your religion. Now you have to be very, very wise in how you convey this information. But the truth of the matter is, I don't respect no fire worshipper, no Jesus worshipper, no idol worshipper. I sure don't. And we don't respect in this regard. Now, we may treat them with kindness because Allah said, those who don't fight against you, when they don't take you out of their homes, Allah does not prevent you from dealing with them in qist, tibih. Listen to the words of the ayat. With justice, and that you are birr, you have some right, some kindness towards them. But there's a difference between justice, kindness, and respect. Respect is when you regard something, when you magnify it in your mind, so that it takes your respect, it deserves your respect. Now that doesn't happen to anyone but a Muslim. Tayyib. So we differentiate between justice and between respect. Even Allah Azza wa Jal, with justice, He will deal with His creation. But He doesn't love the kuffar. But it doesn't mean He won't treat them with justice. With justice, He doesn't love them. You understand the point? So we have to be very careful, Jam. Be careful of conveying this misinformation to the people because of choice of words. If what is required is vocabulary, we have to strengthen our vocabulary and familiarize ourselves with the Arabic terminology and the English terminology. You read the ayah, you read the English, you will not find the word respect or ihtiram. Ihtiram, ihtirama, you will not find it there, neither in the Arabic nor in the English. And so no, even if you mean like Abu Talib, we say we have to hate him because he's a kafir, but the hatred is not as bad as Abu Lahab, who fought against the Messenger of Allah. Yani the hatred is less. He's still in the fire. But he at least supported the Prophet Ali at some point in time. So the level of hatred decreases because of that. But love is not going to be in that equation. You understand what I'm saying? Love doesn't fit in. It cannot. The Shaykh said, فَإِن كَفَرُوا فَإِنَّنَا لَا نُحِبُّهُمْ. If they disbelieve, we don't love them. And وَلَوْ كَانُوا مِنْ أَقَارِبِ الرَّسُولِ عَلَيْهِ الصَّلَاةُ وَسَلَامُ فَأَبُو لَهَبْ عَمَّ الرَّسُولِ عَلَيْهِ الصَّلَاةُ وَسَلَامُ. Even if they're the relatives, Abu Lahab is the uncle of the Messenger of Allah. لَا يَجُوزْ أَن نُحِبَّهُ بِحَالٍ بِأَيَّ حَالٍ الْأَحْوَالِ. It is impermissible to love him in any condition. بَلْ يَجِبُ أَن نَكْرَهَهُ. Rather, we must hate him. لِكُفْرِهِ وَلِإِذَائِهِ لِلنَّبِيِّ صَلَّى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمْ. Rather, we should hate him for his kufr and for harming the Messenger of Allah. وَكَذَلِكَ أَبُو طَالِبْ. Similarly, Abu Talib. SubhanAllah, the Shaykh answered all of us. What did the Shaykh say? يَجِبُ عَلَيْنَا نَكْرَهُ لِكُفْرِ. We hate him for his what? For his kufr. لَكِنْ نُحِبُّ أَفْعَالَهُ. But we love some of the actions. Not him. Some of the actions, which is the part that we appreciate. الَّتِي أَسْدَاهَا إِلَى الرَّسُولِ عَلَيْهِ السَّلَامِ مِنَ الْحِمَايَةِ وَالذَّبِّ عَنْهِ. We love the fact that he supported the Messenger of Allah. We love that act. But the man, we don't. Just like there may be a ruler, an oppressive ruler, whom we hate for many different reasons. But you know, he gave some, he helped the needy once. We're not going to love him now, but we love the fact that he gave the needy. But we still hate him for his oppression against the people. قال المؤلف رحمه الله ويتولونهم. And we take him as allies. يجعلونهم من أوليائهم والولي. We take them as our allies. What is الولي? يطلق على عدة معان. It has multiple meanings. يطلق على الصديقة. We say الولي is الصديق, your friend, right? والقريب, one who's near to you. والمتولي للأمر. We say ولي is the one who's in charge, the one who is given authority. وغير ذلك من الموالات والنصرة. And other meanings of allegiance and aiding and helping one another. وهنا يشمل النصرة والصداقة والمحبة. So we ally with them as in نصرة, we aid them in victory and صداقة, in truthfulness and in relationship, in friendship, والمحبة, and in love. This is the relationship we have towards the family of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam. And with this, inshallah, we should conclude. The discussion will get really interesting soon in regards to some of the family members and going into the detail of the wives of the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam and things of this sort. And we still have a lot to discuss in regards to the Sahaba and refuting the Shia and the Rafida and so on and so forth. وآخر دعوانا الحمد لله رب العالمين وصلى الله وسلم على نبينا محمد.